What up, Long Beach? Welcome to 2020 and another episode of What Up, Long Beach. Here, it's your home for everything local sports. I'm JJ, he's Mike, and on this episode, we're going to be talking about all of the great Long Beach sports stories we're looking forward to covering in 2020. We've got clear vision.
Are there any other New Year songs besides Auld Lang Syne?
I'm sure there are, and I'm sure they're not as good as Auld Lang Syne. It's one of my all-time favorites. I love that one.
Oh, it's great.
When they start singing Auld Lang Syne at the end of It's a Wonderful Life, I cry every time.
Nice.
Every single time.
Got it. You've shown me your weakness. we're fired up for this. We're recording the last of our special holiday episodes of What Up Long Beach here at the Long Beach Post, lbpost.com. You can go there, support everything they're doing. They're the best, biggest news outlet in Long Beach, and they cover everything news side. We cover everything sports side. We got all of your news and what's sure to be a wild and exciting 2020. We got elections. We got all kinds of crazy stuff coming up. But what we're going to talk about, as JJ said, is the biggest sports stories that we can see on the radar right now. That's what we're fired up for. And I'm excited for this,
James. Yeah, there's so much sports content in Long Beach. There was no way we were going to be able to stop. So right now, if you're listening to this after your whirlwind of a holiday break, it's okay. It's still there. You can go back and listen to the episodes of this show, their best of 2019 episode, the best of the last decade episode, obviously other episodes of the show where we're going to give you those lists and some video clips. You want to see what it looked like when Mike and I were in London for the 2012 Olympics? Well, we've been covering Long Beach sports for more than the last 10 years, so we've got video of most of it, and you can find it right now at the562.org and the Long Beach Post.
If you're like me, you're big on New Year's resolutions, or I call them more like New Year's evaluations.
I like that.
I like to take a minute, just, you know, at this year, on my birthday, whenever, just think about what happened the previous year. What did I like? What could I do better at? And one thing that I want to resolve to do more of in 2020 is going out. My wife and I cook a lot at home. That's good. It's healthier. It's nice to do it. It doesn't cost so much money. But we also just like, we don't basically ever go out, Jage. You know, we might go out for dinner once a month.
Mike, we also work night and weekend jobs, which makes it more difficult.
It's very true, but I guess what I'm getting at is my number one resolution is to eat at Naples Rib Company more specifically. Maybe eat less everywhere else and eat more at Naples Rib Company. There's a number of reasons for that. Number one, it's the best food in Long Beach as far as I'm concerned. It's definitely the best barbecue, but it's my favorite restaurant to go to, period, for the ambiance, for all the delicious food they have there, for the side. I could go there and just eat sides, to be completely honest with you. I could just go have a mashed potatoes and mac and cheese kind of a night. But Naples Rib Company, not just the best tasting food, also the best at supporting local people like us. Dave Orsini and Naples Rib Company have been our supporters for the last decade. And we want you to help us thank them by going to Naples Rib Company. And, you know, when you sit down, when you have your meal, write on the receipt. Thanks for supporting Long Beach Sports. We appreciate you. And we appreciate you.
So here we go. So much to look forward to in the Long Beach sports landscape coming up here in the next year. Over the next 12 months, we're going to be giving you so much coverage at the562.org and Long Beach Post. So make sure that you're subscribed to the websites, subscribe to this podcast. Obviously, follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff, so you can know when the big stories are coming. Right now, we're going to run down the top 10 things that we're looking forward to in 2020. And I think that the most important one for the entire city is actually the Elephant Lot. So it's not really a sport or a place they play sports yet, but that will soon be the case as the 2028 Olympics make their way towards Los Angeles, and that will include multiple events here in Long Beach, and they have to fix up that area that is the Elephant Lot, Long Beach Sports Arena. We've talked about it so often. We knew that place was going to change, and a change is a-coming in 2020.
Well, yeah, one of the bigger sports stories of 2019 was that the city did not get the Anaheim Angels, and I'm not expecting there to be 2020, the sun to set on this year with the news that a major top-tier sports franchise is moving to Long Beach, but I do think we're going to know what's going in there.
What it's going to look like.
Yes, and I think that as the mayor has talked about, he started talking about bringing sports teams or an entertainment district or a sports district there well before the Angels got involved, mm-hmm. And I do think it's likely that we'll hear something about it this year. I know everyone's eager to hear something. I'm eager to hear something. And I think we'll know by the end of the year what's going to happen over there.
Just because of the logistics and the other things that happen down there, I'm also very curious to see how the Grand Prix of Long Beach is involved or not involved in the planning of changing the elephant lot in the whole Shoreline Village area, because the Grand Prix really is the largest sporting event in Long Beach each and every year. The amount of people it brings to this to the city, the amount of people who watch the event.
It's not that many people at a Pauly Wilson football game.
For no, sure. Yes. Not really. So
now,
it's,
all those people probably live in Long Beach, which is a little different.
Also yes. True. It's important though. It's very important to the infrastructure of the city and really the way the city works. So I'll be very curious to see how much, if at all, Long Beach Grand Prix is involved, especially with a new sponsor. Like Acura just took over, so you would think that the city would be amenable to them being involved in that, but only time will tell.
Right.
And we will find out. If you had your druthers, Mike, what would you want to see in the elephant lot? Like a massive baseball stadium?
A mini LA Live.
LA Light?
Yeah, basically like a mid-sized basketball / entertainment venue that could host the Sparks, that could host...
So the size of the arena right now
is good.
The South
Bay Lakers. Yeah, basically. The size of the Long Beach arena It wouldn't have good. Whales on it. It would look... I would want something really architecturally interesting.
Okay.
And it would be the anchor. You know, you put in, similar to LA Live, you put in a condo building, because Lord knows mm-hmm. we need more housing, with some, you know, top level restaurants around there,
mm-hmm.
And maybe an outdoor performing area, and boom. And suddenly suddenly you've got the Terrace Theater,
yep.
You've got that, you've got the aquarium, you've got Shoreline, you've got the Pike. Suddenly that's a really nice area over there.
If I'm AVP, I'm thinking of coming back to Long Beach if that
Hell
stuff
yeah.
happens.
Well, I mean, it's a big deal. And all of a sudden you've got, again, the ability to host some musical acts there, which, you know, the arena used to, I mean, like yeah. Bruce Springsteen used to play at the arena. You know what I mean? You could host some people there. I know the market's saturated. We had a number of people comment that on our column where I sort of floated this idea. But the market was saturated when Long Beach used to get people too. Yeah, but we used to have an arena that could support a big tour. So yeah. that's what I'm hoping for. I just think that would be awesome. But, you know, we'll see. At the end of the day, I think one thing we all agree on is, like, something should happen with it.
without question. It's a beautiful place to be. Just to stand there, it's beautiful. Can you imagine if there was also a bunch to do?
Right.
Yeah, that sounds great. So we will see about the elephant lot. We're also going to see our number two story that we're looking forward to in 2020 is the Long Beach mascot mayhem that has taken over everything Long Beach State Athletics for the last year. Will it continue? Are we still going to have to write stories about the Long Beach mascot? Like, we thought we were done until basketball season started and other publications around the nation realized that Long Beach State is no longer the 49ers. So then we had to do it all over again, because other people finally started paying attention to a story that Mike and I have been writing about for a decade?
Yeah.
Should we have put Long Beach mascot in the big stories of the decade?
It feels like it's the only thing we've been writing about, yeah.
Unbelievable stuff over there at Long Beach State, because it's a lot. And it's a lot from people who didn't start the fire. Billy Joel's singing about Andy Fee somewhere, bro. Because Andy Fee did not make the decision to take 49ers off of anything. But he was, for lack of a better term, left holding the bag on this one.
When you get hired at a job, you don't get to come in and rebuild the furniture. You know what I mean? There's certain things in the office that exist when you get in there. And this was his mess to deal with. And, yeah, we'll see where that goes from here.
I got to be honest with you. And we talk to Andy Fee every other week. We're going to be doing a LB Fee show. We do the podcast with him every other week. And it's odd to me that they went, no more 49ers. We're not going to be 49ers anymore. We're the beach. We're the beach. We're the beach. And now they're almost backtracking, being like, we're dirtbags. We're 49ers. We're the beach. We're all of it. We're everything. You want a mascot? We're that one too. It's like, it's really interesting how they keep swinging back and forth and back and forth. I have told you and anyone who will listen that I think mascots in sports are overrated, unnecessary, and should just basically be done away with. Like, we don't need to name ourselves after mythical creatures in order to have a good football team. Like, take your griffins and go somewhere else.
Strong decision.
I don't need it. All I need is different colored jerseys and where you're from.
Right.
That's pretty much it. You don't travel the world with the name of your mascot on your jersey. You put the name of your city on your jersey. You let people know. So I think this whole thing is just unnecessary in the first place. I could care less what my alma mater's mascot is. I just like going to the games. That's it. And no matter what mascot is dancing on the sideline, it doesn't matter, dude. I'm watching the people in the jerseys.
Yeah. I mean, you know, all of that's correct. I don't know what to say. I just, My like number one New Year's resolution, let's not write the word mascot in 2020.
Don't hold your breath. Our number three story that we're looking forward to in 2020 is kind of just soccer, and very specifically boys soccer here in the local area. Soccer has grown exponentially over the last decade here in Long Beach and really just in California. So many kids are playing soccer nowadays. Soccer style and the quality of soccer has gotten so much better just in the last 5 years, let alone the last 10 years. But Long Beach boys soccer has not won a CIF Southern Section Championship since Milliken did it in historic record fashion in 2012 when they won 7-2 over Ventura. We talked about that game in our Moments of the Decade last week on this show.
That's crazy that no one's won since then, because we've had
Jordan's good... made it to the championship.
Yeah, there's been such
Cabrillo's
good
made it to the championship. And these are the schools that we usually don't get in the championship games too.
Right.
Your Cabrillo's, your Jordan's. You know what I mean?
Cabrillo won that CIF State Regional last year, but
nobody's
right.
won a CIF won Southern, Southern Section, Section Championship.
Wow, that's crazy.
Got some good teams in this city who didn't get there. A lot of good teams, and we've got a lot more talent coming in this year. More league boys soccer race is going to be fascinating in January. Like towards the end of January, if you don't check back in, please do and just watch the last week of More League Boys Soccer. I guarantee you it's going to be thrilling. And then we got to see what the deal is in Division One. No other sport in Long Beach has three teams in Division One, but boys soccer does. So does
except
that mean
for the, except for the you know wrestling track cross right, country right. where it's just by enrollment still.
But does that mean the league is better? Does that affect the league? Does that mean the league's going to beat up on each other and then everybody's going to limp into the playoffs?
Right.
Only time will tell, man. But I do know that the quality of boys soccer, no matter championship or not, is so much better now than it really ever was. It gets better every year. And now you're having field turf put in at all these schools. It's only going to get better after that.
Yeah. I have to agree with that. All right. What's up next?
The next one on the list is baseball. But Ooh. Not more league baseball. It's dirtbag baseball. We've got the new look Dirtbags with a brand new coach, Eric Valenzuela, over there at Long Beach State. Troy Buckley fired last year. So Valenzuela getting to take over the program with a little bit more than a year under his belt. You know what I mean? He basically took over in the summer and got right on the recruiting trail and made some big moves. Got some talent headed to Long Beach, but that talent's not here yet. This is recruiting. They don't just show up tomorrow ready to play. So he's got to deal with high expectations and maybe not the high level of talent that Long Beach baseball has usually had.
Right.
And then basically preach patience to his players, his boosters, fans, Long Beach State athletics in general, and then basically play the waiting game. Because he's the new school guy, right? Troy Buckley was the old school guy. Eric Valenzuela is the new school guy. But he's got to preach patience and know that the stuff that's happening on the field that's going to make it a successful program might not come until, I don't know, if he recruits somebody this year, they play high school baseball, and they come next year, they're only going to be sophomores in two seasons
right.
of Long Beach State baseball. So it might take two seasons for people to see the Eric Valenzuela effect, you know, actually change Long Beach State baseball.
We'll see. It also might have an immediate kind of a boost of, you know, some new blood in, doing things a new way, I guess. Right? We're going to find out. But you're right. It will be different this year and very interested to
what
see
if they
what
win 15
like.
Games
oof
you know what I mean
yeah
like what would that look like for the support of the program. I think that it's got a historical significance in this city that is not rivaled, so it can survive stuff like that,
right?
But then I also think that would be a third straight very disappointing season following maybe the most successful season of the last decade when they had the Super Regional at Bull Diamond at Blair Field. So that's a tough three-year stretch to get. If you got that season as a booster and then donated a lot of money, and then you get those three seasons, that would be tough to bounce back from. So you got to trust, right? Where's the trust level in dirtbag baseball? I guess that's the question for there.
The other spring sport, this one we're looking forward to, and we're much more confident that we're going to have some championship-level success. Rachel Glenn and the rest of the Long Beach track and field world, talking about all of the kids at Poly and Wilson. Rachel Glenn will be a senior superstar for the Bruins, but Jade McDonald is a stud at Poly. We're going to see tremendous relays and individuals at both those schools. So it could be even better than last year. Could see quite a bit of hardware coming back to Long Beach. But Rachel Glenn individually, having won a state championship as a sophomore in the high jump, having been the runner-up in that event and won the state championship in the 300 hurdles as a junior, very excited to see what Rachel does her senior year, because she's basically already promised me that it will be like movie worthy. So really fired up for that state meet in Fresno to see some crazy fireworks from the Long Beach kids.
If you're Rachel Glenn, how do you stay motivated for a year like this? You've already won a state title. You've already signed your national letter of intent. You're going to college. You're getting your college paid for. People want to see you be on the track and on the field doing your
she
thing.
She wants national.
What's your motivation?
This is what I love about track and field. She wants national records. That's what she's looking for. She wants to do different events. She might try the long jump. She might really focus more on the 400. But I think that 4x4 at Wilson this year is going to be nasty. And I think they have a very legit shot at breaking a 4x4 national record that I think has always belonged to either Wilson or Polly.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they'll be in the mix for that. And I'm very excited to see how all that goes.
Well, that will be fun to watch in the spring. Also in the summer, it's kind of at the end of the spring into the summer, we've got some Olympic events mixing around Long Beach sports. For example, the Dew Tour, don't know if you've seen it, but it's the skateboarding competition that's come to Long Beach the last few summers, is also an Olympic qualifier. So you will basically be able to see, what, the first quarter?
Yeah.
It's like four quarters of Olympic skating. The first quarter is actually happening in Long Beach.
And I think it's actually the last qualifier on the schedule. So Everyone who's trying to get in is going to be in Long Beach going crazy.
We're
going to
have the best skateboarders in the world in Long Beach. There's no question. The only other place that's going to have the best skateboarders in the world next year is Tokyo.
Really excited for that. And USA Triathlon also hosting an international event that will have some national team qualification points in Long Beach. But JJ just mentioned it. The big thing with the Olympics, obviously, is the Tokyo Olympics. Since we started in 2008, the Summer Olympics has always been a really exciting time to be a sports writer in Long Beach because we always have a lot of athletes, a lot of coaches out there competing. We will find out over the next few months who those will be. But I think it's safe to say there will be some Long Beach State men's volleyball players. I believe a sailor has already qualified.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there will be some water polo players and aquatic athletes in the mix. As well as on the coaching side, I believe Long Beach State alum Tyler Hildebrand will be coaching the beach teams. Very excited to see all of the Long Beach people that make their way to Tokyo.
When I came to Long Beach State and I picked up that copy of One Great Game and read the history of Long Beach Poly football and said, I want to work in Long Beach sports, I had no idea it was also the Olympic capital of the world.
Right. Yeah.
The amount of aquatic Olympians who come out of this city, like per capita for Long Beach, is insane.
No, it's absolutely nuts. Yeah. There's no comparing to it, really.
That's okay. That's the best way of explaining it. There literally is no comparison. So make sure you're watching as we count up the number of Long Beach representatives who are going to be in Tokyo this summer. We'll basically cover Long Beach like we did in 2012 when we literally went to London and covered the Olympics there. We just cover Long Beach as if it's its own country.
Right.
You're there representing Long Beach. Here's the medal count for Long Beach. Was it top 10 in overall medals?
It would have been tied for number 10 for gold medals and number 17 overall for overall medals. Yeah.
Well, in 2012.
As a country. Yeah.
Pretty impressive.
It's pretty insane.
Country of Long Beach.
The country of Long Beach.
Tis of thee.
I'm a very patriotic guy for the country of Long Beach.
Speaking of Olympics, one of the stories that Mike and I have been wondering about for the last few years is, what is the future hold for Misty May Traynor, the greatest volleyball player to come out of Long Beach?
Yeah, the greatest beach volleyball player perhaps ever, alongside her partner, Carrie Walsh Jennings.
And now coaching girls volleyball at LBCC.
Yes,
now, obviously, she's done a great job there.
They've won conference championship. She's done great there. But our question, and I think a question Missy's had for herself as well, is what's the next step? Is it to go to a Long Beach State or a USC or somewhere and take over a collegiate beach program? Is it to stay doing more indoor stuff? Is it to just maybe stop coaching and relax and retire and enjoy raising your kids? Like, I think all of those things are in the mix for Misty. And I'm curious to see what happens. Or maybe she stays at LBCC another couple of years and wins a few more conference championships, and we'll see what's what.
She's got the gym. She's got things working. She's also has children, though.
Yes, she has three kids.
Yeah, these babies are running around. So I don't know. It's anything is possible, and I wouldn't be surprised by anything. Is that fair?
I think that's very fair. We'll stay for number 9, not in ranked by order of importance, ranked chronologically. But our next to last one, we'll say high school girls volleyball. JJ mentioned boys soccer. We have three Division I programs in boys soccer. We have two really legit Division I programs in girls volleyball. And I think it's possible that Wilson moves up this year as well. But Pauley and Lakewood were both so young last year that I think we are going to see, especially if more top-level freshmen come in at those schools, we're going to see some really crazy things from them. We might have two teams in the national rankings. We might have two teams making very deep playoff runs, possibly encountering each other late. But, you know, I'm on record. I think we're on record as saying that Pauley-Lakewood rivalry is the best rivalry in the city right now in terms of elite level of talent. And, hey, they've actually split it kind of over the last few years. So you've had a lot of back and forth as well over two teams that are both in Division I.
And you get two. Yes. You get two of them. Right. You get a home and home for both teams. The crowds are always incredible, and the matches never disappoint. Very impressive stuff from them this year. Could be more impressive next year. I'd kind of say the same for football in Long Beach. Number nine is football quarterbacks in Long Beach, though. Because football quarterbacks in Long Beach last year were very impressive.
Yeah.
Ryan Petway setting all-time records at Wilson. They've been playing the sport of football for a while, so that's impressive.
Right.
Mekhi Jordan basically coming into his own and carrying Pauley through the second half of that league season and into the playoffs. Lucas Lamar never started a varsity football game in his life. Just came on through and took the St. Anthony Saints back to the playoffs.
Right.
All those guys are gone. So who's going to be the Long Beach quarterbacks next year for Pauley, Wilson, St. Anthony, Milliken? I think those are probably going to be the top four teams in the city.
Yeah.
And none of them have guys coming back.
Well, so Pauley will be really interesting because, like, right now they've got a great battle between Shea Kuykendall, who actually started last year. Mekhi Jordan ended up taking the job over. He'll be a junior. And Pauley's going to have a kid who's a freshman right now who'll be a sophomore next year who, if I was a betting man, I'd probably put my money on. But Nico Yamaleava, his older brother and sister are both volleyball stars at Pauley. Nico is one of those guys. He's very highly rated in his class. He had USC interest as an 8th and a 9th grader. He's 6'3". He's very accurate. He has a strong arm. I would say right now he'd be my favorite to not only win that job but be the best quarterback in the city. And here's what I love about the Yamaleava family. Nico's also going to play boys volleyball nice. At Pauley in the spring with his brother. His older brother is signed to Long Beach State, is a middle blocker who's like an All-American caliber middle. And so Nico's going to go play boys volleyball with his brother and then try and win the starting job for the city's most high-profile sports team.
For Wilson, it's actually a name that people would recognize. It's primetime, baby.
Oh, nice.
Nicky Timko, the slot receiver who busted onto the scene for the Bruins this year, was the backup quarterback this year and is likely going to be the starting quarterback for the Wilson Bruins next year as a senior after going from quarterback as a freshman, receiver as a sophomore, receiver as a junior, back to quarterback as a senior. And he's a lefty, too. It's been a while since we had a lefty quarterback here in the city slanging the rock around.
I like that. I like that. I don't have any advanced scouting on either of the other teams, but we will definitely see who comes. I would guess it will get a transfer into Milliken.
Maybe.
I feel pretty strongly that that's likely to happen. I think we'll see Javonte McCoy back at Lakewood, which we're excited about.
Definitely.
And then, yes, St. Anthony is wide open. I have no idea who's going to end up over there.
It'll be interesting because, if we're being honest, the teams that were successful this year had quarterbacks who were very successful this year.
Yes, which is usually the case.
It's not rocket science.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's number nine. That means number 10. The final thing that we are looking forward to in 2020, and the reason why we put it last is because, well,
we're going to give them some time.
It just keeps getting delayed, so we're going to give them as much time as possible. Will the Belmont Pool finally break ground and get rebuilt? I guess it's staying rebuilt because it's being on the same piece of land there right next to the Veterans Memorial Pier at Belmont. But the old pool's gone. The temporary pool is like one big earthquake away from falling apart. So, yeah, time is of the essence, and they're trying to reconfigure an original plan to make sure that the pool / aquatic center is big enough and affordable for the city of Long Beach to get back there.
And we just need it, man. We need a pool. You know what I mean? Like, we need a
real
pool.
Were we not just saying that the aquatics and the Olympic aquatics here in Long Beach are second to none? Yeah, we probably need a pool to keep that going.
So there it is, our 10 stories we're looking forward to in 2020. Thank you so much for being with us through all of 2019. And we hope that you stick with the 562.org and the Long Beach Post at lbpost.com to see our coverage of all of these big stories as they play out, as well as, I'm sure, some big stories we don't yet have any idea about.
Yeah, and if we don't have an idea about it and we missed it, let us know. We want more interaction with What Up Long Beach here in 2020. So shoot us an email. We've got the easiest emails of all time. He's Mike at the562.org. I'm JJ at the562.org. And you're the reason why we're able to do this coverage each and every week. So for us, both websites, and for you, we will see you in the stands in 2020, Long Beach. Take care.